This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Conversations with My Dog, with me, Mani Jahangiri, founder of Doga. I am so honored to have Elizabeth Coe today on the show. She is a fur mother, a fur baby rescue, Handsome, who's now 8 years old and is one of the first rescue from the Yulin Dog Meat Festival. Elizabeth is also a team member of Angels for Animals Foundation, and she's been fundraising all along, and she's an incredible human being. Hello, Elizabeth, and welcome on the show. Hi, thank you for giving your time.
Hi, hello. Oh, thank you for a lovely introduction. That was really nice. Thank you.
Yes. We could have gone on and on and on. You did so much, but let's come directly to the point of Handsome. So it's very important that we understand your story and Handsome's story, how you both met. Please go ahead.
So, about April 2016, somebody showed me a picture. I'll never forget the picture of a dog crawling out of a boiling pot, trying to crawl out of a boiling pot of water. And they told me that there was this festival that goes on every year, Yulin Dog Meat Festival, where all these terrible things happen to dogs, you know, boiled alive and blowtorched alive, and just 10,000 dogs are eaten in 1 week. But also about the way they just like to make them suffer, first of all, because of, you know, the adrenaline creates, you know, well, the fear and the pain creates adrenaline, which supposedly gives them health benefits. As crazy as that sounds. So I was just horrified and shocked, and I couldn't sleep, and I was just desperately upset, and I came a little bit obsessed with it. And then, so I started to investigate, and I saw that somebody from a charity called Mark Ching, from charity Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation, had gone out to see exactly what was going on. And I followed his journey. And funnily enough, a girl from Swindon, which is 15 miles away from me, called Helen Reed, she answered his cry for help. So she got on a plane and she followed him to Yulin and helped him with the rescue. So there was a team of them. And they went into the Yulin Festival, and there was 1,000 dogs there. And they said to Mark, if you take all 1,000 dogs, then that's it. We'll finish the Yulin Festival early. So even though we'd just gone out to literally investigate and capture footage and see what was going on, he ended up with 1,000 dogs in the middle of a city that, you know, he didn't know what to do with these 1,000 dogs. So that started a whole, you know, sequence of events. He managed to find a couple of different charities to take a lot of these dogs, and he ended up with about 300 dogs. So then this young girl called Suki, a Chinese girl, offered her help and her parents' land. I'm cutting quite a long story very short here. And they took the dogs. Well, they didn't originally take the dogs there. They took them somewhere else, but they ended up in Suki's parents' land. So Helen Reed, the girl from Swindon, she went back a few times to help after that. She came home straight after Yulin and then went back. and then she was helping with all the dogs. And she put a post on Facebook of Hanson saying about how broken he is and how, you know, how much abuse he'd had. And honestly, he looked absolutely awful. And I just messaged her and said, I'll have him. And that's the beginning, really.
I mean, I'm just, I remember the picture and, you know, having met you and Hanson afterwards and the way you took care of him. And then you showed me the picture, the way he looked before. It's just, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. What happened in that moment when you saw Hanson? Did you, what happened exactly in your heart of hearts? Like, can you explain that moment?
I don't know. I just instantly fell in love with him. I can't explain. It was instant. And I just had to have him here. I had to look after him. I don't know. It was like an overwhelming love. It was really weird. And I just, that was it. And I said to my husband, oh, by the way, we're adopting Hanson, this dog. And he was fine, absolutely fine. And like I said, we do have another little dog in the house, a little Shih Tzu that's my daughter's dog. And of course, he was slight concern to make sure they would get along and everything, but that's down the road. They did get along beautifully. And then it was just a kind of trying to find ways how we would get him here, because I didn't know anybody that had bought a dog here. I mean, obviously they had to do all their quarantine over there, get well, do all their quarantine, have all their vaccinations, have all their paperwork done.
How many months does that take in total?
That takes about 4 months, 3 to 4 months. So I called DEFRA because I didn't know where to start. And they were amazing. They just helped me through it step by step. They told me exactly what to do and all the steps I needed to do and everything. And we realised that it was easier to bring them and cheaper to bring them via Paris. So we flew him into Paris and picked him up from Paris, along with two others that are now in amazing homes not far from me, which is lovely, and have been the whole time.
And what did Hanson look like? How can you describe Hanson's physical?
Well, he was very thin. He was very shaken, very nervous. He just looked completely and utterly bedraggled. You know, just his fur was just awful. He had hair missing and the scars on him and cuts, and you know, he just looked awful, just skin and absolute skin and bone, and like all his elbows and his knees all just totally skinned, you know, grazed right back to the almost the bone. It was just terrible.
Do you know his journey exactly to Yulin? Was he encaged for 3 days or?
Yeah, it was definitely in one of those cages. I mean, it probably was a guard dog before that. He's a typical Chinese street dog, really. He definitely wasn't a pet. You do see a lot of pets at the Yulin Dog Meat Festival. You know, they've got their collars on and they're purebred. I mean, I reckon he does have some Jindo in him, but he is very typical of a Chinese street dog as well.
And just for our listeners, please understand that these dogs are stolen dogs. A lot of them belong to owners. These dogs that are consumed at those dog meat festivals are stolen goods, and they belong to probably very nice dog owners, because we always think, oh, the Chinese are so horrible. They're no.
It's no, they're not.
Exactly.
I mean, I've seen dogs on meat trucks with little pink coats and little bows in their hair, and you know, it's horrendous, totally beloved pets, really, really, really sad. And then there's also the case where breeders sell dogs they can't sell to the meat trade as well. And they end up, you know, dogs aren't farmed in China, really, like they are in like South Korea, but they are stolen, whether it's off the street or from owners.
Absolutely.
Just horrendous.
And tell us a little bit about Hanson's you know, the process of adopting him and then bringing him home. How was that?
Yeah, so I worked with the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation, and we had to fill out an adoption form and everything. It was quite funny because they hadn't shipped any dogs to the UK, so their application form had things like, do you live near coyotes? Because obviously a lot of little dogs get taken by coyotes in like places like Los Angeles or wherever the coyotes are. So yeah, it's quite amusing. But other than that, the forms were pretty similar, pretty typical of the adoption forms here. So I adopted him in the end of July and he came the end of November. So that's pretty quick, really. I mean, they're still dogs, you know, from 2016, 2017, sat in shelters all over China now. So he's definitely one of the lucky ones. And like I say, I called DEFRA and they helped me with the process. They told me exactly about all the kind of, because they have to have obviously their rabies and all their vaccinations, and that has to be done a few months before they come. And then there's the whole process of all the worming. They have to have special worming medicines and things like that just before they come over. And then you know, they have to have all their passport done and their paperwork. I mean, I did do quite a lot of fundraising because I paid for the other two dogs as well. But the paperwork alone was about £600 per dog. And then obviously the flights and the crates and everything. I did an afternoon tea and I raised £3,500. So that helped towards that. And it was fun as well. So that was the beginning of my kind of fundraising journey, really.
Have you ever done fundraising before for anything else? Or is that just,
no,
it
never.
Just came with...
Yeah, I was just on a mission. And I, you know, since then, I mean, I've raised tens of thousands of pounds over the last 5 years. So I'm quite proud of that. Even if I do say so myself, sorry, but...
Oh my goodness.
It helps. It just helps with the whole horror, knowing that you're actually helping.
And you are helping. And you make sure that money goes in the right place. Has it ever happened?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. How do you do that? How do you research? How do you find out that the money is really going where it's supposed to be going?
Because I've only ever worked with people that I trust with the money, really, I suppose. I have, obviously you do send little bits of money here, there and everywhere, but the serious money has always gone to charities that I trust. So I did a garden party, and that after Hanson was here, and I raised £5,000, and that went towards getting a couple more of the dogs from Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation out of China and into the UK as well. So yeah, so I kind of see, I carry the journey through, I see where the money goes and what it does. So, and I know just being involved in it for so long, you kind of know how much things cost and, you know, that and that, really. So
did you know the trauma, the exact trauma he was under, you know, underwent? Was he beaten? Was he tortured? You know, can you tell us a little bit more as you were trying to raise Hanson into your family and bring him into your family? What did you notice and what was the biggest obstacles there in that time?
It was quite a journey, actually, because, like I say, he came in and instantly got on with Brody, our dog, our other dog. And when he first came in, he went to lift a leg to have a wee on a piece of furniture, and I said no, and he didn't. And from that day, he's been house trained, never, ever once been to the toilet in our house. So strange, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Total street dog.
That's incredible.
I know. He doesn't even like to really go in the garden. We have to take him on walks. He's so clean. I think that's part of his breed as well, because he's part Jindo, so they are very loyal and fiercely protective, and they are hunting dogs. Definitely not a first-time dog, but he's absolutely lovely. So when he's very protective, though, I remember he was in the back of the car and I pulled up, and I asked somebody for directions, and this guy leant in and Hanson wasn't happy. You know, things like that. But I think a lot of dogs would be a little bit unsure of some strange guy sticking his head in your car window, really. I don't know what Robbie would be like.
I don't know. Yeah, he doesn't really care. He's always very plastic,
okay.
But he's very protective over me when it comes to children, so babies and
things.
Really? Yeah. But yeah, and as he gets older, it gets worse. But
And he was fine. If somebody came in the house, he would have a little bark, but then he was fine. Because he'd had a tick-borne disease, which he was in remission for, the vets here wouldn't neuter him. So we got him out so quick of China that they didn't even have a chance to neuter him in the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation. I mean, none of the dogs leave now without being neutered or spayed or whatever. And so because it's an autoimmune, they wouldn't neuter him because they say any kind of stress could bring it out. Surgery is one of those things. So he was slightly reactive to some unneutered dogs. And he was a little bit, he did get a little bit, when we got Molly, he did get a little bit protective because she was a barker at people that came in, little terrier, typical little terrier. She would bark at people, but would never, ever be aggressive, where that made him a bit more protective. So we did have some issues with that, but we manage it perfectly. And he's absolutely delightful. Within 2 minutes of meeting you, he's absolutely fine. You just need to introduce him carefully if you come into the house.
Absolutely. I've never come to your house, but you came to London for a special event. And how funny, how ironic. It was for the Chinese Year of the Dog celebration with a Chinese television company called CCTV or something like that. And I was going to string this together. They wanted to do a piece on Doga for the Chinese Year of the Dog. And I said, right, you can film it if I can bring one of your Chinese rescue dogs into the class and string Yulin in. I was going really political. We tried, didn't we? We tried to string the story together. And of course, we saw the video and it was all about Doga, but nothing mentioned about Hansen, that he was from Yulin. Yeah, you can't push through. You just, it's with the media, but we tried. And I was so, I remember you coming in with Hansen and I started crying and weeping because it was the first time an actual rescue dog from China, specifically from Yulin, came to Doga and was part of us. And
he loved it, didn't he?
He did. But do you remember how much wee there was on the floor?
Yeah.
One woman came for the experience and she rolled out her mat and for some reason they were all weeing on her Lululemon yoga mat. And she
was
so soaked. She came just for the experience. I don't know what happened. And it was a vegan restaurant. And then the one little Tweety Pie, little Chihuahua, ran into the restaurant, into the kitchen, and grabbed himself a vegan muffin and spat it out on the floor because it was vegan. It went, bleh, this is crap.
I remember a lot of the little dogs were humping.
Oh, that's Robbie. Robbie started that. Started the fire. Yeah. And I remember Hansen wanted none of it. He was so sophisticated, just there on the yoga mat going, what? Am I back in Yulin? This is madness. It's like, I'm not sure, mummy. I'm not sure about this place. It was mad. It was too many people, too many dogs in a very cramped and a TV crew trying to cover a story for the Chinese
Instagrammers as well, wasn't there?
Oh, gosh.
There was a lot of Instagram people. I just remember at the end, though, how calm it was from complete chaos in the beginning to everything ended up really calm.
It was absolutely
amazing. So it proves
amazing.
It works, doesn't it?
It does work. It does work. And I remember you were nervous about the idea of bringing Hansen in at the beginning. You were a bit weary of the idea that the socialising part. But it went really well.
Yeah, I did say there's a couple of breeds he particularly doesn't like, and they're pugs and French bulldogs. And didn't a French bulldog, or not a French bulldog, walk in? I think it was a French bulldog. And they both growled at each other for a minute, and then they stayed at separate ends of the room. That was quite funny.
It is funny, but the thing is, because all the humans come on the floor and we're all on the same level as the dogs, there usually is no aggression. Just at the beginning, like I call it sniff and greet, just because they got to figure each other out. But during the session, if everybody's breathing and actually focusing on the relaxation part and, you know, inhaling, I said the dogs just, they're fine with each other. I mean, it would have to be super aggressive, traumatized dog, you know, one of the, I don't believe in aggressive dogs, I only believe in aggressive owners. But I remember this thing, and it was I actually got a I got an email, quite an angry email from the owner of that cafe later on.
Yeah.
And you know, it was messy. And I thought, nah, it's probably not the right space to continue with dog. It's very hard to find the right space, especially when there is a restaurant, a kitchen next to, and there were no doors. So,
but I said you needed a little grass box or something that they could all go onto. You know, like a meter wide or something, I don't know. It was funny, they were being everywhere.
Exactly, and that's what you need for a dog yoga studio. It needs to be figured out where, how to work these out, because it will happen. I always say accidents happen. It's not because of training. It's one starts, the other comes. But anyway, back to, so Hansom's in doing really well, but you are now officially, or since many years, working with Angels for Animals Foundations?
No, I've only been working with Angels for about a year now. Before that, I was pretty on my own, and I did do quite a bit for Rushton when they were bringing Chinese dogs in. And I had a little meeting. I had that garden party, and that's where I met Sky Wardour and Julie Wardour and Jenkins, who now were still part of the same team. And we just became this little fundraising team. And Sky is actually a trustee for Angels for Animals now. I mean, she's, this girl's incredible. She's 24, and I've never known anybody that young and that dedicated to doing what she does. She's incredible. You should interview her next. She really could, you know, she's been to China. She's devotes her whole life. She's amazing. And they have 5 rescues now. They have 2 Samoyeds from China, 2 golden retrievers, and this gorgeous little flat coat black retriever from Turkey. We've just been part of this team now for like nearly 5 years, which is incredible. And we have a lot of fun and a lot of heartache as well, but we've raised quite a bit of money together.
And when you say quite a bit of money, how much are we talking?
Do you know, I've never actually added it up, but I mean, I in the first year, I got probably £15,000 to £20,000 worth in grants. I don't know. From different avenues. Maybe not that much in grants. Maybe that was my fundraisers as well. But we've always got things on the go. Always. We've got a dog show in August. We've got an auction on Instagram at the moment, and I've got 2 Instagram pages where I sell things, and the profit goes, 100% of profits go to the dog. So,
and what Instagram page is that?
Well, I've got one called Beauty Saviors. So my day job is I'm a beauty therapist, and I sell like really lovely beauty products and give skin consultations and everything. And then so people can order from me, and all the profits go to Angels for Animals. And the other one is actually called Fashion Saviors, because somebody gave me their old clothes when they moved out, beautiful clothes. And I made about £2,000 and donated it to the charity. And it just kind of thought, well, this has got legs. So I've started this page where I ask people for their designer clothes that they don't want, and they can get a percentage. They can... So say I sold something for £100, they can either donate the whole £100 or they can keep 50% and then 50% for the dog. So it's kind of people, it just makes it easier than keep asking people for money to actually do something for people as well. You know, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So with the skincare, they're getting advice and they're getting skincare, so they're paying a price. It's just the profits go to the dogs. And then with the fashion, you know, I sell it on sites like eBay, Vinted and Vestiaire, anything from good high street right up to top end designer, really. So, but that's quite new.
And is that your background as well?
No, not at all.
No, okay.
No, nothing about fashion. I've learned over, well, I actually learned with that haul I got from my friend that I sold on eBay for her. She has some amazing brands, so I kind of learned quite a lot from that, really. But no, it's definitely not my background.
Coming back to Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation, just wanted to round up, because we have a lot of listeners in the US as well. Can you tell us a little bit about them, where they're based, and you went to visit them? Can you, and a little bit about Suki and her relation to what she's doing in China?
Yeah, so the Animal Hope and Wellness had a shelter in LA. They don't have that anymore. They use foster homes. And so they've stopped really rescuing from China, but they do an awful lot of extreme local rescues. It's just really the fact that Suki still got a couple of hundred dogs there in China, and she obviously they can't go to America now. So, I mean, obviously a few hundred have left, but when all that stuff happened, that bad, you know, the Daily Mail broke that terrible story, or they lost a lot of their money. Mark Ching, yeah, they lost
Mark
a lot
Chang.
Of funding,
yeah.
And it did hinder the charity a lot. So, yeah, so, but now it's ran by a lady, Dr. Barbara Gitlitz, who's a friend of mine. She's been here. She was part of Handsome's rescue in China at Yulin. I've got pictures of her with Handsome in a cage with the neck thing on, you know, the collar. And she actually came to my house. I've got pictures of her with Handsome in my home here too, which is amazing. She's so lovely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I follow her on Facebook.
She's just really kind, obviously hugely intelligent, and just really passionate about the animals. So
yeah, because I heard so much about this lady called Suki Su. Everybody knows about her, even Russian Dog Rescue. Everybody talks about her. Can you tell us a little bit about her? Because she seems to be in Yulin all the time. She doesn't stop.
Well, Suki, she's looked after the dogs that were rescued by the Animal Hope and Wellness Foundation, and which she still does. They are actually all on her land now, her parents' land. And that's just her life. She is a young girl. She actually went to college in England or university in England, but she's Chinese. And so she just looks after the dogs there and helps to raise awareness in China. And they were sending some dogs over. There's not too much going on right now because they aren't actually rescuing from China now. There's not really a lot because she has to take care of the dog she's got. So, and that's her priority.
It's incredible. But they were going to open a education center. Originally, Mark Chang and Ching wanted to bring school children over and educate them about rescue dogs. And so they wanted to do a lot of local services with China. I think they had a great idea.
Yeah. Suki does do small little things. Yeah, definitely along those lines. I mean, that's such an important thing now, the whole educational side of it, isn't it? It's like changing people's way of thinking.
It has to come from within. I once spoke to Bill Bailey, and he's got 7 rescue dogs from Bali, from Bark for Bali. And I said to him, what do you think? I mean, how's this ever going to change? It just keeps coming back and it keeps returning these festivals. And he said, education, education, education.
Education. So true.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, a brand new podcast bringing together people's real ghost, extraterrestrial and paranormal stories, as well as getting some inside details from those who study the supernatural. I'll be listening through your paranormal stories every week and try to understand them, as well as chatting about my own encounters with an occasional paranormal investigator too. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Acast. Just search for Paranormal Activity with Yvette Fielding.
This charity I'm working with now, Angels for Animals, it was founded by another amazing girl, Katie Harrison. She's only 28, and she was a lawyer, and she went out to slaughterhouse survivors to help. And a massive dog lover, and she decided to set up her own charity rescuing from Turkey. And I've been absolutely horrified by what I've seen in Turkey and how the dogs are treated. I can't even repeat some of the things I've seen and heard. And, you know, this one house, they've called it, you know, it's like the house of torture or house of horror, where these two men were just torturing puppies. And I think we took five of those dogs. They were all rescued and it made national news, but I think they got a fine of £100 or something. I don't know, something stupid. And we've had a couple of dog rape victims. That seems to be quite a thing in Turkey. And just absolute abuse. I mean, they're in the kill shelters, and then the government kill shelters where it's almost like a game with them. The people that run these government kill shelters, they just don't, they get pleasure in almost tormenting the amazing Turkish activists that are trying to help these dogs, that are begging them to let them go in and feed them. And it's just like a game. They might let them in every now and then to feed them. And then when they want more money from the government for another load of dogs, they shove these ones up the mountain to starve. It's horrendous. So,
my God. This is the first time I've heard anything like that. I mean, I always focused on Yulin, but this is just awful. I'm so glad you're telling us.
No, Turkey is horrendous. Yeah. And the thing is, they don't even eat them. They don't even eat them like they do in China, which is obviously horrendous, but at least they're eating them, you know, which is a terrible, you know, do you know what I mean? I mean, obviously we don't want anybody to eat any animal, but that in Turkey, they're just doing it for, it's just cruel. It's just horrendous. I just don't understand it. It's beyond
sick. There's no animal rights in Turkey?
Well, they say there is, but there isn't. There isn't. There really isn't.
Can you tell us how, like, I'm a dog owner, for example, but how would I go about rescuing a dog from Turkey? What do I do? As a total novice, what do I do? What's step one?
Well, you have to contact somebody like Angels for Animals. It's really tricky to get dogs out of Turkey. It's the government are very funny about it. They're very funny about it. I can't really go into too much of the politics about it. It's really weird. And Katie does talk about it on her Instagram page a little bit, but she doesn't actually name the country. So rescuing is just such a tiny part of the story. It's all about rehoming and making sure the dogs, you know, I'd rather you see these trucks full of dogs in China and they're carted off to the worst hellholes that where they live, you know, horrendous lives for the next however long, you know, these massive, massive shelters that I'd almost rather they went to the slaughterhouse and had a quick, you know, rather than go through that. And that's the same everywhere, you know, dogs need, it's the whole life of that dog that is important. They have to then go on and be looked after properly, not go from one hell to another. And that's the kind of charities I like to support, and that's what Angels are so brilliant at. There's a lot of purebreds in Turkey as well. We get a lot of flat coat retrievers, all kinds of purebred dogs, Labradors. Not that, you know, that matters, because I've got two total mixes, but, you know, so again, it's people abandon their dogs.
How much would it cost? How much would it cost to adopt one of those dogs from Angels for Animals Foundation to get a dog over from Turkey into our homes?
Because they ask you, or part of their policy is, could you contribute towards some of the flights as well, maybe. Sometimes it can cost about £700, but people pay £3,000 for a, you know, purebred, doesn't it? Don't they really?
It's just crazy. Yeah, it's really good to know, because so many people are, I just don't understand why people are still buying puppies and things for £3,000, and it's happening left, right and centre. And then you hear this, £700, what's that? You know, to give a dog a life, you know, it's, yes, it's hard work, but still, you know, I try and convince people. I keep asking people when I see them in the parks, I'm like, oh, why did you get a puppy? Oh, you know, we thought this and that and that and that. And I said, how much did you pay? £3,000. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just such high prices. And it's just encouraging puppy farming, breeding, illegal breeding and all this. It's gone a little bit out of the window. So this is really good to know. Animals. So you have Turkey, Angels for Animals. They deal with Turkey. What other countries?
Well, they deal with Dubai. They dealt with Dubai, not so much now. I think they were really helping with a specific rescue that was going on. But they have just brought in two amazing dogs from China. I met one this morning, Kubo. He's a husky cross collie, and he's got one blue eye and one green eye. And he's the most gentlest little dog. But for some reason, they're just struggling to find him a home. And he's actually in kennels, in spatchcocks, where another dog from China, that independent dog that came in with no rescue backup, that I'm looking after and trying to get homed, Black Lab, Teddy, gorgeous dog, is, I know. He does have a few stranger danger issues, though. He's like handsome. You do have to introduce him carefully to new people coming in. Not all new people, but things like delivery men, he's a little bit protective, but he's looking for his forever home, and he's the most adorable dog. The people that run the kennels, said he's the loveliest dog they have there. And he's now under another lovely little charity that I help called Awful Dogs Rescue. They're local to me. They're mainly Romania and Bosnia. So I help those as well. We're actually doing a ball at Christmas for them, a big Christmas ball. So hopefully that will raise a fair bit of money. So I've got, my main one is All for Angels for Animals, but I do little bits for All for Dogs Rescue as well. So they're pretty incredible too.
Do you think Teddy will be with you for a long time, or you think he's going to be snatched up shortly?
I don't know. He's been there for 2 months now. I think because we've had lots of home offers, but they've had children, and because he has, you know, does have this stranger danger issue, we just can't risk homing him with a child. Even though he's absolutely delightful, you know, he just needs to be managed, just like some rescue dogs. They just need careful managing. So, but he really is lovely.
Oh, he sounds beautiful. What about if you had a little Maltese dog, 9 years old? Would Teddy cope with that? A little, where is he?
He's lovely with dogs, but he's lovely with most dogs. If a dog is going to be a bit aggressive, but if a dog's going to be bolshy with him, he'll be bolshy back. He's not a submissive dog. So he'd have to have careful introduction. He's up, they have a field and he's up in the field with the dogs, and they're mainly all kinds of dogs, but they are mainly bigger dogs. So I'm not too sure about the little dog. Even though I had a trainer go in the other day and she took her Shih Tzu and he was lovely with him. So, but they would, what is Robbie like? Is he quite a little dominant dog, or?
He's becoming dominant. He's dominant when it's puppies. Puppies jumping up and down. He puts them into place. He just does this. I'll do the sound now, just a second. Rah! You know, this. Rah! It's really scary. It comes out of nowhere. And it's this. And I jump away. Everybody jumps up when he does his. Rah! And he does it during the dogo as well. And it's with puppies. No other dog. Any dog after two, it's fine. Doesn't matter size and anything. It's the puppies, I call them my Generation X lockdown puppies, that, you know, the needy ones. The needy ones that are jumping up and down going, hi, I want to socialise. Please let me socialise. Please let me socialise. Please let me. And Robbie's like, rah! You know, he does that thing.
I mean, that's a whole other thing. Story, isn't it? The lockdown puppies is just...
I know.
It's making rescue hard at the moment because there's so many dogs that need in home that people are handed in from lockdown. Puppies, horrendous.
I think these people should be handed in themselves. Yeah. To be honest, I cannot and will. I don't know why charities even allow it. There should be a fine. There should be something saying no. You chose this dog because you were lonely, and you did it for selfish reasons. Now deal with it. Yeah. But of course, these dogs could be
breeders. This is breeders that people are buying from breeders.
Oh,
so all the dogs that people are buying that have bought all the puppies during lockdown, they're now being handed in because people are going to work and they don't have anything, they don't know what to do with their dogs. So all kinds of purebred dogs that have been bought from breeders over the last year and a half and now being handed in. So it's making it really difficult to rehome the rescues.
Oh, that's exactly what they were telling. Difficult. Yeah, Ira said that in All Dogs Matter. But still, I just think, you know, you once you get a dog, it's your responsibility. You know, it should, all of this should be, isn't there a law somewhere where people have to have like a, they're monitored or assessed whenever you rescue a dog or you buy a dog, this is sort of, you are an owner and something. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like an accreditation?
Well, rescues, yeah, no, but rescues offer rescue backup. So if you decide you don't want that dog you got from a rescue, then you should be able to go back to that rescue and say, I can't, you know, can you take this dog back? And that most reputable rescues will. But obviously breeders not, well, some will, but there's, no, the puppy farms won't, the puppy mills won't, you know. And I know there's been a new law to kind of cut down on the puppies coming from puppy mills, but no, I don't think it's, people do it anyway, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, was very concerned with a company called Puppy Yoga because they were bringing dogs in cages. It's actually a big business, and I will mention it because I can, because I'm the founder of Doga. People would email me and say, can you bring the puppies over? I said, what are you talking about bringing the puppies? You have to be an owner. You have to be an owner. You bring your dog to yoga. Oh, there's no puppies. I said, well, there's never been any puppies. They said, oh, but it's Puppy Yoga. And I said, what is this? And found out this is a new trend where breeders are bringing their puppies in cages to yoga classes and allow the puppies to socialize with strangers. Now, I found that a bit strange. And they're coming cages. I've done my research. And then they're allowed out and then they go back into the cages. And I'm thinking, this is a red flag for me, totally. I mean, this is just not right.
How old are they?
Some of them are really young. I've checked 6 weeks, 8 weeks. 2 months onwards, and they said the mother's on site, but I found out the mother's not on site. So this is also a really, really big, you know, again, the puppy trend. I can't, it's not a child, you know, would we unleash children, babies for baby yoga in cages? I mean, sorry. It's unbelievable how this trend with puppies has just escalated. And it's again, I blame it on Instagram. It's just, it's a great thing, Instagram, but it's done a lot of harm as well, and trends are rising and everything. But if we are all a little bit more knowledgeable, and thank God we have these podcasts and rescue missions and events and your wonderful fundraisers. Now, Tell us, how can we be part of your fundraiser? How, Elizabeth, how can we come to your tea party?
We've got a dog show in on the 29th of August. I can send you the details so you can maybe put it on your it's not far from Gloucester, so it's in we've got a Christmas ball on the 27th of November in Swindon, Old Town Swindon, and that's for All Four Dogs Rescue. That's going to be lovely. I mean, three course dinner and, you know, the whole thing.
What happens if we have a lockdown? Do we do it on Zoom? The three course
dinner?
No. But you'll go.
Do you think we will?
Ach, I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. I hope not. But don't worry. We might. There must be some, at least one Christmas tragedy with the government. Go in, stay out. No, do a fundraiser. No, don't do a fundraiser. Well, do one on Zoom, but don't do it on Zoom. You know, something's going to happen. But it, regardless, you will continue on Zoom, right? With you,
we can carry over to the next year. The hotel, because it's being held in a hotel, has said that they'll just carry it over till next year, and people can either then get the money back for their tickets or just come next year. You know, we've booked a band and the same with them. So it's all kind of refundable, or, you know, we've made sure of that because, you know, we were slightly nervous about booking it in the beginning. So the dog show's only a month away. So I'm hoping that we don't get any silly restrictions in before then.
No, you've got probably a day left. Yeah. I'm devil's advocate here. Oh God. I'm just being negative. I'm Scorpio. I'm always negative. But I just wanted to say also, you have me, Doga, in case everything goes wrong. I can always do a Zoom fundraiser, Doga, if you need some entertainment. I've done it with lots of charities and it's been amazing and very rewarding as well. Doga on Zoom.
We will definitely take you up on that.
Absolutely. And I also think we would love to see the pictures of the two dogs that need a home. That would be great. We will help you with this. Definitely.
There's another one in there as well. Louis, he's a golden retriever. And he just showed a little bit of resource guarding. But again, nothing that shouldn't have been handled. And he's almost ready. He's practically ready to be home. He's absolutely stunning again. The kennel owners said he's just delightful, absolutely amazing. Nothing that any other dog might not, you know, be like every now and then. So that's three, actually. Two from China and one from Turkey.
Oh, this is amazing. Elizabeth, we could talk forever, but it's really good to catch up with you. And also, I had no idea that you did so much fundraising over the years, and you are very humble and yet a force to be reckoned with. You are on it. And
I'm definitely on it, but thank you for saying I'm a force.
Absolutely,
to be reckoned with.
Absolutely. You're very humble about what you're doing. A lot of people, they boast about all these fundraisers, but you don't. And I had no idea you were doing all this. I have a lot of respect, and I'm very honored to know you. And I hope we can meet, hopefully we'll come over to Gloucester, and I'd love to see Hanson again. I always wanted to come and revisit him.
I mean, he's still very nervous. You wouldn't be able to touch him for a while, you know. I mean, he'll definitely come round, but he's definitely not. Molly will, she'll come up to your microtel and roll on her back and rub her belly, but Hanson is definitely a little bit more aloof. But he warms up, and when he warms up, then he'll be come over to you and he'll lean against your legs when you're sat down. But he has to come to you. You can't go to him.
Well, here's to more events. Yeah. And thank you so much for coming on the show. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful summer, a very productive summer, a very relaxing summer. Enjoy every moment. And I will bow my head and bring my hands together and say Namapaw. Namaste.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with My Dog. Make sure to hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. Follow us on Instagram @ Conversations with My Dog to keep up to date with all of our latest news. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please, please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. It helps others to find us. And talking of spreading the news, please tell another person about the podcast and help us reach more people. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week. Namah Pa.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.